Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Shawna K. Tobin and today I'm going to be speaking on a very special topic. It's called Roles in the Family. Gear up for a very interesting and exciting session with me. It's just as simple as having your phone.
Welcome back to another live episode of Exploring the Five Love Languages. It's your girl, Rushi B, and today in studio with us, we have two veterans in psychology. Their names are Dr. Dwyer and Dr. Tobin. It's a pleasure having you guys here with us.
Thank you for having us.
Right. So given an issue where in our Jamaican culture, young adult couples feels like the only way to show their love is through sexual intercourse. Yes, we know that sexual intercourse enhances a relationship, right?
Yes, it does.
It feels good. So, Dr. Dwyer, given that young couple thinks that sexual intercourse is the only way that we can express our love to our significant other, how can we inform them of those different methods?
Okay, so I have the perfect...
Look at you!
Good afternoon again. So I have the perfect information to tackle that issue that you've just outlined. So Gary Chapman, a psychologist, from America, he explored five different methods of how we can express our love to our significant other, and he labeled them the love languages, namely words of affirmation, through gifts, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. Now I'll be exploring words of affirmation, gifts, and acts of services. When he spoke of words of affirmation, he was referring to how we express ourselves to our significant other. I can give you an example of what he was referring to. In my previous relationship, for me it was okay and everything, but communication was our issue. And when I speak of communication, it wasn't just talking to me. My confidence is somewhat okay, but to have a significant other, you expect them to say, like, if you put on a dress and you don't like it, you expect them to say, like, oh, darling, baby, you look nice. Nothing is wrong with the dress and stuff like that.
Right,
he
right.
wasn't that type of person. Okay. So that was one thing that was lacking in my previous relationship. Mm-hmm. And then I can give you another example. My parents have been married for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. And up until this day, I admire their relationship because my mother will be in the kitchen with her hair all ruffled up and stuff, and my father would just walk in and say, "You're so beautiful," and I'm like,
yes.
"Is love
that's
like
true
that
yes,
out there
really true.
Still out there?" Mm-hmm. So I mean, I understand and I agree with Gary Chapman when he said he identified words of affirmation as being one of the love languages.
Right.
Yes. The other one that he explored was through gifts. In today's society, many men have this impression that most females, because I read in the Star the other day where they said they did a survey as it relates to why females no go on dates and stuff like that, and it showed that most females, 90% of the females that go on dates because of the food. Now, this is not a gift, but this is a form of your loved one, your not loved one,
significant other
right, giving right. you something.
Mm-hmm.
So back to what I was saying, men nowadays, they have that
notion
that mm-hmm. females only enter the relationship because they want something.
Right, right.
And I don't think, for me, mm-hmm. I still believe that females out there
mm-hmm.
that really come in the relationship don't want anything, but will respect, like, will appreciate yes, you know, giving them, like, it. Spontaneous gifts and stuff like that. It shows
it
how much...
Feel appreciated.
It shows how much you appreciate them. You can pop up at their jobs, like, every now and again, we send a little roses and stuff like that. That doesn't mean that I want gifts every day. Just make me feel like I'm wanted.
He's thinking about you,
yes.
right?
Yes. So that's another method of showing your love to your significant
right.
other.
Mm-hmm.
He also, Gary Chapman also explored acts of love. Now, this is another one that I can relate to my household. Acts of love does not mean you have to engage in sexual intercourse.
Right.
It could be that I come in tired, you know, when it comes down to gender role, the female is expected or the wife is expected to be the one that cook, whether she works or not, when they get home, they should be cooking and stuff like that. Let me tie in that to my household now. What I realized with my father, my mother, she loves cooking regardless if gender role has anything to do with this. She'll get home like 6 o'clock and she goes straight to the kitchen. But then there are days when like the time in which she comes from work, it overlaps with her cooking time. And my father wouldn't even call her. He'll just, okay, I know what mommy would cook today, so I'm going to cook that. And I find it to be one of the most adorable things ever. And for my being single right now,
mm-hmm.
like that's something I would want my husband, that's a form of love language I would want
mm-hmm.
my husband to emulate in our relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Thank you, Dr. Dwyer. You have tackled 3 salient points on those 3 love languages that you have included scenarios about. And I really do appreciate it. But in two quick seconds, could you give me a sentence how you would encourage a young adult couple currently who is going through similar issues? You know, how would you help them to tie in those 3 points?
I would say get to know your partner.
Right.
A relationship does not only entail sex, as society now puts it. Get to know what your significant other likes,
mm-hmm.
and by that,
right,
I mean minus in sex.
Mm-hmm.
And through knowing them,
mm-hmm.
you'll get to please her in other ways other than sex, because I'm sure
mm-hmm.
he or she
mm-hmm.
has other things that would make them happy, and they would consider it as you loving them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Well said. Well said, Dr. Dwyer. Okay, so we're moving on to Dr. Tobin, and she will be exploring the other 2 love languages. So it's all now to you, Dr. Tobin.
All right, so what I'll be looking at is the other 2 love languages that my colleague did not mention. One important thing in a relationship, or I would say important aspect in a relationship, is giving your significant other your undivided attention. So you don't just sit down on your phone, as us young people, we tend to be on our phone a lot,
mm-hmm.
and we don't give our partner enough attention. They're right beside us, but we are still far away.
Right.
So you can, things you can do, go on date night, start a date night with your partner, and watch a movie together, go to the movie, and just talk, communicate. Communication is very important in a relationship. Another aspect is physical touch. So, you go, okay, like my colleague had said, with her parents, they have been married for quite a while, and her father would go in the kitchen with his mom, with her mom, sorry, and show her some affection, touch her, and tell her how beautiful she is. And I'm sure she feels very validated by that. So you hug your partner, you kiss them, and also sexual intercourse is very important in a relationship. We want to be in a relationship and there is no sex. It is very important in a relationship.
Okay, so Dr. Tobin, one quick question, Dr. Tobin.
Okay, so I'll be continuing on the two other love languages that Gary Chapman spoke about in his book. Right, so for the first one, we have the quality time, spending quality time with your partner, and a physical touch, that's holding your partner hands, hugging them, and kissing them. We also have sexual intercourse that draw you and your partner closer together, but we're trying to steer away from that for now. So
Dr. Tobin, why would you want us to steer away from sexual intercourse?
Alright, so many persons, they think sex is the main part of a relationship, or if you're not having sex, then the relationship is not that important,
right?
So we're trying to steer away and focus on things that can make the relationship more
meaningful,
blissful and meaningful.
Apart from just sexual intercourse. Good.
All right, so spending quality time with your spouse. As we know, social media is taking over the society.
Oh, yes.
Taking
we can
over
relate.
Society by a rapid.
Mm-hmm.
So spending time with your partner, watching a movie with them, and going on date nights.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's even once a month, you can plan a date night with your partner.
Right.
And it's not just about sex. You talk about random things that is important in a relationship. Things you can work on and things you need just to communicate about.
Right. Even going on hiking.
Yes. Or watching a movie together.
Right.
Yes. Right, those are things that spice a relationship.
Very good. Salient point. And I like the way how you linked those two different love languages to what is happening nowadays in our young adult relationship. Right? So thank you again to you, Dr. Tobin and Dr. Dwyer.
It is always a pleasure having you guys.
And I'm sure that you had tapped in to those salient points that we wanted to capture so that we could inform young adult couples as to how to show their love as opposed to only through sexual intercourse.
Yes.
Right? So I want to thank you again, and it was a pleasure. And it's your girl, Rushi B. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And you can definitely catch us every Tuesday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. sharp on Instagram.
I'm going to go to King's.
Wait, something new. We have to put the advertisement in. I'm going to name them.
Good day, class. And how are you today? My name is Miss Tobin, and for today's lesson, we're going to be looking at some methods of cooking. Before we begin our lesson, what is cooking? When you hear the word cooking, what comes to mind? Yes. Cooking is defined as the art and science of preparing food for eating by the application of heat. So when you see your mommy or daddy have the pot on the stove and the flame or fire going up to the pot, it's actually cooking your meal. All right. So what are some reasons why we cook our food? All right. For some reason, we cook our food is to destroy bacteria, and we cook to preserve our food. Because we know when you cook your food tends to last longer because most of the bacteria is gone, and it helps to preserve your food. We also cook to provide hot food in warm weather. So you realize in a hot weather, persons mainly, they mostly like to cook soup or they like to drink tea, like in England. In England, they drink tea a lot because the weather is hot. All right, so we also cook to provide variety. We cook to provide flavor to our meals, and we also cook to make the food more palatable. For example, we are our greens and starchy, raw vegetable. You want them to be chewable, so you don't want your vegetables or food to be raw, so you cook it to make it more chewable, as you would say. Yes, and we also cook to reduce bulk. All right, for instance, a vegetable. When you're cooking your callaloo, when you cut them in small pieces, when you cut them in small pieces, you realize it's bulky in the pot, but as it begins to cook, it becomes smaller. For the same with cabbage, you realize that when you cook them, most vegetables, it reduces in size. All right, so some methods of cooking we'll be looking at is boiling, steaming, roasting, braising, frying, stewing, poaching, baking, grilling, and deep frying. And we'll go in brief in more detail as I go along in the lesson. Okay, so the first one we'll look at is frying. And frying can be categorized into three categories. All right, so you have the dry frying, and in this frying method, the pan is heated and the food is rich in fat, so you don't need to add more fat to it. For instance, bacon. So the bacon has oil in it, or grease in it, or even our favorite food, chicken back, right? Yes. Most of the times when we are cooking frying chicken back, we don't add oil to it because the fat is already stored in the meat. So you don't need to add oil to it. So that's dry frying. For the shallow fat frying, the pan is heated and a small amount of oil, just enough to glaze the bottom of the pan, is used. So you don't use a lot of oil when you're doing a shallow fat frying. And it's mainly used when you're doing you're tossing your vegetables, steak, chops, and pancake, and eggs, and omelet. For the deep fat frying, that is where you use the bulk of the oil because the meat or whatever you're cooking has to be fully immersed in the oil to be fried. So it's more covered in the oil. And we do that when we use it. We're doing our French fried chicken. We all love our French fried chicken on Sundays, right? Yes. And even KFC, even where you see they do the fries, they immerse the pan, the grill thing, in the oil so it's fully covered. So that is what you call an example of deep fat frying. Alright, so for grilling. The grilling is a quick and convenient method of cooking, and the food is placed on a grease grill rack, and which in turn is placed in a pan to collect food juices. It is placed under the grill and that provides radiant heat. Alright, so in grilling, whatever you're grilling, it's not in oil or grease. It's on a grill and the flame is what cooks the meal. Yes. So it's not fully immersed in the oil or on it's just on a grill and the flame or heat is what cooks the meal or whatever you're cooking. And then you know you turn from one side. You mainly see this in movies. It's similar like to jerking. Or you can jerk in your oven. Grill in your oven. So we'll be looking at boiling. So boiling is when you're fully immerse your food into the liquid. Oh God. Good day, everyone. My name is Miss Tobin, and for today's lesson, we'll be looking at foods group. At the end of this lesson, students should be able to define the term meal planning, outline factors to consider when planning a meal, identify the six food groups used in meal planning in the Caribbean, state the importance of having meals from each food group, and demonstrate healthy meal planning. To begin our lesson, I'll be reading a scenario out loud, and then we'll discuss the scenario afterwards. So the scenario is as follows. There was once a little boy by the name of John who resides in the parish of St. Thomas. Every morning before he goes to school, his mom would prepare his breakfast. She would prepare fried plantain, fried breadfruit, omelette, frankfurters, and pancake with bacon and 3 fried eggs. And she would also serve him his favorite drink, apple soda. In addition to the lunch money that he received when going to school, he would also bring snacks to snack in class. So she would give him chips, biscuits, bun, candies, or a slice of cake, and his favorite apple soda drink. Alright, so John would still go home every day for lunch as he lived very close by to the school. His mom would prepare his lunch for him, and this would consist of fried chicken with fries, or she would fry fish and bammies, or oxtail and macaroni. John was a spoiled boy. She would also make his favorite potato salad and avocado and a big glass of soda. John really loves soda. After school, John would use his lunch money to buy the same exact meal every day. He would buy fried chicken with fried rice and macaroni and cheese. John became ill. He was constantly feeling nauseous and he was gaining weight. He was also feeling very fatigued. His mom became very concerned because she did not know what was wrong with him. She thought she was taking care of him by giving him all the meals he loved. All right. So what in this scenario, what do you think was causing John to gain all this weight and feeling sick? Yes, there was too many fried foods. Remember, she had fried breadfruit, fried chicken, frankfurters, fried eggs. Everything is fried, and too much oil in the diet can cause you to gain weight, and it can also lead to other sicknesses such as obese, because you gain weight when you have too much fat in the body, and this can also lead to high cholesterol. All right, so now, what you think John's mother could do to help him to lose all this weight and be healthy? Yes. John's mother, she could probably cut down on the fat, start serving him more vegetables, and preparing a more nutritious meal instead of having this lot of greasy, unhealthy food. Start preparing more nutritious meal with vegetables, fruits, and not so much fats. But there are also factors that John's mother will need to consider when she's planning his meal. Okay, so John's mother lives at home with her husband. Her husband is diabetic, and the grandmother, that's John's mother's mother, so she's hypertensive, so she will have to consider the type of meals she planned for each person. So some of the factors you have to consider when planning a meal is the nutritional requirements, the age, the sex of the person or the gender, their occupation. Yes, his father is a construction worker, so you know, more work, so they need more strong food for the body. And then the health of each family member, the preference, and the available money and resources. So these are all factors that John's mother will have to consider when planning a meal. So, you know, the father is diabetic, so you can't have too much sugar in the diet. And then John's grandmother is hypertensive, so no salt. So you will are less moderate amount of salt. So she will have to plan meals for each member of the family. And she will have to ensure that the meals are healthy meals. All right. John could also cut down on the snacks at school. And all this fried food, like you only need three main meals for the day. You need breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Those are the three most important meals for the day. You can snack, but in moderate amount. Like you can have a snack between your lunch period. Like when you're at school, that period where you get break, you can buy a snack, but not so much sweet and sugar candies and cakes. Those are not healthy. So she may need to cut down on that. And she can also plan his, prepare his meal for him. So instead of doing all this fried food, plan a healthy meal. Cut down on those fatty food. Ensure there's more vegetables in his diet. And this can also help him to be healthy. To become healthy. Alright. So, now that we know, we have discussed and analyzed the possible causes of John not feeling well, we're going to plan a meal using foods from the 6 Caribbean food group. Can anyone tell me what the 6 major food groups in the Caribbean are? Alright. So we have staples. Staples are foods like bread, rice, bananas, breadfruit, yam, potatoes, cereal, and you can name a few on your own. List a few on your own. For legumes and nuts, we have kidney beans, gungo peas, peanuts, cashew, and cowpeas. For vegetables, you can have callaloo, cabbage, cucumber, tomato, pak choi, string bean, and carrots. Fruits are like mangoes, guava, cherry, orange juice, orange, apples, papaya. Food from animals are like meat, fish, poultry, eggs, cheese, yogurt. Fats and oils are like cooking oil and salad oil, butter, margarine, ghee, avocado. Yes, avocado that we love so much. Yes, it's a part of the fat and oil group. And ackee, yes, ackee is also a part of the fat and oil group. So now we know the 6 food group. Let us help John's mother to plan a balanced meal using food from these food groups. So I have decided that I'll help John's mother to plan a meal. And the menu is rice and peas, and that is the staple and the legume. Grilled steak, that's the meat in the menu, in the meal. And then we could prepare some mixed or tossed vegetables, then that can be broccoli, carrots, tomato, and cucumbers, and they'll be sliced. And she could also have a fruit salad or a fruit bowl with slices of strawberries, mangoes, and apples, and a glass of milk. So instead of the apple soda, she could use a milk or even fruit juice. Natural fruit juice would be good. All right. So we know our health should be one of our main concerns. And one way to ensure good health is to eat well. Having a meal plan or a menu plan in place help you to avoid takeouts and those quick homemade meals that aren't so well-rounded and healthy for us. With a planned meal, you will end up with a more balanced and nutritious diet. Remember, your health is your wealth. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. See you next time. Good day, everyone. My name is Miss Tobin, and welcome to my podcast. For today's lesson, we'll be looking at food groups. At the end of this lesson, students should be able to define the term meal planning, outline factors to consider when planning a meal, identify the 6 food groups used for meal planning in the Caribbean, state the importance of having food from each food group and demonstrate healthy meal planning. To begin the lesson, I will be reading a scenario and then we'll be discussing the scenario afterwards. So the scenario goes as follows. There was once a little boy by the name of John who resides in St. Anne's Bay. Every morning before he goes to school, his mom would prepare his breakfast. She would prepare fried plantain, fried breadfruit, omelette, frankfurters, pancake with bacon, and 3 fried eggs. She will also serve him his favorite apple soda drink. In addition with the lunch money that John would receive, he will bring snacks such as chips, biscuit, bun, candies, or cake, and a bottle of his favorite apple soda to snack during class time or between class breaks while he's at school. John would still go home every day for lunch as he lives very close to the school, and his mom would prepare his lunch meal, which consists of fried chicken with fries, or she would prepare fried fish and fried bammies, or oxtail with macaroni, or potato salad and avocado, and a big glass of apple soda. Yes, John really loves his soda. After school, John would use his lunch money to buy the exact meal every day, which consists of fried chicken with fried rice and macaroni and cheese. He was consistently gaining more and more weight. I was feeling ill and very fatigued. His mom became worried and concerned because she did not know what she was doing wrong, as she thought she was taking care of him by giving him his favorite meals that he loves every day. All right. So, what in John's meal do you think was causing him to gain weight and feel sick? Very good. Yes. There was too much fried food or fats in his diet. He had fried plantain for breakfast, fried eggs, chicken, frankfurters. Everything is fried, and that was too much fats in his diet. There was no vegetables and too much soda, which is too much sugar, and these can lead to disease such as cholesterol, high cholesterol, blood pressure, obesity, and that probably the case. It would lead into some type of disease. All right. So what do you think John's mother could do to help him to lose weight and be healthy? Yes. So John's mother could probably prepare more healthier meals for him. Instead of these fried food, she could prepare more vegetables in his diet and fruits. Try to give him a balanced meal instead of having these fatty foods with no vegetables, and cut down on the amount of meals he has during the day. He has breakfast, which is a big breakfast with a lot of fried food, and then snacking during class and with candies, cakes. Those are not healthy. You can have a snack, yes, but too much snacks and too much sweet,
is not healthy. Then fried food during lunch period, fried food after school, and who knows, probably is dinner is a big plate of fried food. So those meals are not healthy. So cut down on the amount of meals you serve him during the day and the type of food. She could probably, the method of cooking these meals, she could change. Instead of frying so much, she could grill or bake, which doesn't need that much oil. Alright, so I forgot to mention in the scenario that John's father is a construction worker and he's also obese and he has a little sister that's about one. And then his grandmother lives at home with him. And the grandmother is also, she is 93 and she's also hypertensive. So some of the factors that John's mother will probably have to consider when planning this meal is the nutritional requirements for each person in the household and the age, sex, occupation and physical activities and the health of each family members and the preferences and also the availability of money and resources. So, you know, for John's father, he will probably need more, you know, strong food because he's doing a more aggressive physical activities. So, his meal would be more, what you say, heavier. Not balanced, but more. His grandmother, however, she probably have problems with her teeth, so her food, she would probably have to do more softer foods for her mother. And then John, now who is gaining weight and not feeling well most of the time, she would probably have to reconsider giving him more vegetables in his diet and less, like in moderate amount, less starchy food, more fruits and vegetables. But yes, she could use the My Plate, and we'll discuss that in our next lesson. The My Plate, where it portions the plate and you know the amount each food group should contain when planning your meal. Alright, so what can you recommend that John change in his daily activity and meals to have a healthier lifestyle or healthy well-being? Yes, so John could probably, yes, cut down on the fats and the amount of food he eats. Is every day, like you don't need 3 francs bacon and all of that apple soda in the morning for breakfast. Instead of having those fatty foods, use a more healthier meal plan and cut out some of these foods. Like, you only need like breakfast, lunch, dinner. Those are the 3 main meals that a person need to have a healthy diet. And these should be healthy food foods from each food group. So, eating less and less fat. Instead of going home, mother could probably prepare a meal at home for him. with vegetables and grill instead of bake, as you said earlier. Grill a chicken if she wants, or bake it instead of frying. Alright, so a healthy meal plan can be defined as taking the time out to plan nutritious meal and snacks for a specific period. So you're planning the meal ahead to ensure that it is balanced. So now that we have this analyzed the possible causes of John not feeling well, we are going to be using foods from the 6 food groups to plan a meal for John, or help John's mother to plan her meal. Does anyone know what the 6 major food groups in the Caribbean are? Yes. So we have staples, which consist of bread, rice, bananas, breadfruit, yam, potato, cereal. Legumes and nuts, we have kidney beans, gungo peas, peanuts, cashew, and cowpeas. Vegetables can consist of callaloo, cabbage, cucumber, tomato, pak choy, string beans, fruits, and fruits can be mangoes, guava, orange, cherries, apples, and papaya. And you can name more on your own. Foods from animals are meat, fish, and poultry. We have milk, eggs, cheese, and yogurt. Fats and oils can be cooking and salad oils, butter, margarine, ghee, and our favorite avocado. Yes, avocado is also a food from fats, a part of the fats and oil food group. And also ackee. Ackee is a part of the fats and oil food group also. So now we know the foods from the 6 food groups. Let's go ahead and plan. Help John's mother plan a meal. A balanced meal with foods from the 6 food groups. So I've decided that I will be planning a meal with rice and peas as a starch, a staple, and legumes. So the rice is a staple, peas is a legume, and then grilled steak instead of fried. I'll do grilled steak as the meat. Then I'll do some mixed tossed vegetables of broccoli, carrots, tomato, and cucumber. Instead of having a soda, you can use a glass of milk or even fruit juice. So the natural fruit juice will be great instead of soda or drink. And then you could also add a fruit bowl with slices of fruits, and this can be with strawberries, apples, mangoes, and cherries. So that would be a balanced meal that I would consider preparing or planning for John to help him go towards a healthier meal. Alright, so we know our health should be one of our main concerns, and one way to ensure good health is to eat well. Having a meal plan in place helps you to avoid takeouts and those quick homemade meals that aren't well-rounded and healthy. With a planned meal, you would end up with a more balanced and nutritious diet. Remember, our health is our wealth. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Have a great day, and goodbye. See you next time.